I know what he's going to do with the belt.
What?
He is going to waffle Savage's head right off his shoulders. And I don't care. Hit him. Hit him all you
Wait,
want.
Just a minute.
Wrestling. Wrestling. Four, three, two. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Big Splash Wrestlecast. I'm Steve Fontana.
And I'm Mike Capizzo.
And we have all sorts of wrestling stuff to throw inside your face and for you to knock around there in your head brain and, you know, maybe spit out some emails later on.
How's it
going, Mike?
Oh, you know, it's going pretty well. Another exciting week. We definitely some very interesting things happen on all the shows.
Very interesting thing. And I don't know if Hulk Hogan's micro championship wrestling has anything to do with this, but we are on hurricane watch, folks.
Yes, we are.
We here in New York City, much like most of the East Coast, we are on. Irene is kicking all sorts of butt up and down the East Coast.
Yeah, you know, we are projecting the worst, and we hope and pray that nothing too serious happens.
Yes. Did you know that we are in Hurricane Zone B at work?
Really?
Did you know that? Yes. We are in Hurricane Evacuation Zone B.
That's, well, B, if everyone may or may not know, B at this point means is that there is a potential flooding.
Right,
potential
flooding.
Flooding
could
now,
happen.
Now, my dad is in Seagate.
Oh.
And he's in A, which
he's
is
in A.
The worst.
Which is, it's going to happen. You need to leave.
Yeah, and he's being evacuated as
speaking of hurricanes, there is all sorts of news that are whirling in like a hurricane. I had a hard time keeping up. I actually compiled a news thing and then about a day ago, and it's already, I mean, we already have a whole like three or four pages more of news. So I'm going to try and get through them quick. You know, I picked and chewed, you know, I went around and I picked what I thought was important. Matt Hardy was arrested for the whole driving while intoxicated.
Yes.
And he was promptly released from TNA.
Shocking.
So Matt Hardy is no longer in TNA.
No, that kills the whole entire Hardy Boys plans.
The Hardy Boys plans are done.
Yeah.
We might touch on that in our very special segment for TNA.
Yes.
Then later on, this came in that I just saw, that Matt was rushed to the hospital, I believe, either this morning or last night.
Yeah.
Because he had fallen down.
He had fallen down?
He fell. This is a guy who would leap from a 15-foot ladder in the middle of a ring, or sometimes outside the ring, sometimes through four tables.
Yeah.
He fell.
He fell.
So he had to go to the hospital. And there was hopes that he'd be released later that day.
Okay.
So he has fallen. And of course his quote on his Twitter is that people don't know the whole story. So we're waiting with bated breath for Matt Hardy's whole story.
And listen, you know, in all honesty, let's be real, folks, okay? I could care less about Matt Hardy.
Yeah,
I am throwing it out there right now, okay?
The Matt Hardy ship has sailed.
We all know that Matt Hardy was never going to be better than his brother.
Which is sad because his brother's not that good anyway.
Anymore. So.
Luis Ignacio Uribe Alvarado. I tried really hard. The original Sin Cara.
Oh, okay.
Is eligible to resume performing this since his 30-day suspension is up. And for those of you who didn't know, there was another man, Jorge Arias, also known as Juniso or Junico or whatever. He was playing Sin Cara for a while. That's why Booker kept saying he looks bigger. He looks, you know, more muscular.
Now, this is pretty interesting.
It's interesting for two reasons. You know, I actually didn't know because I don't read these kinds of things. I don't kind of pay attention to the, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I noticed that he was slower, but also that he was sharper. And then the old Sin Cara came back after suspension, and it's been blowing up all over the news areas that people are really stinking him because at this week's taping for Friday's SmackDown, for tomorrow's SmackDown, if you're listening to this on a Friday, it would be tonight's SmackDown, which of course we don't spoil. He apparently had to do his match with Heath Slater twice.
Twice. There was so many botches. They did it in the beginning of the show that they messed up so much that they actually brought them back out again.
Right,
before the main event to redo the match. And they said it was a lot more cleaner, which I presume if you just do it a second time, it should be a little bit more cleaner.
Yeah. I used to do matches more than once when I used to wrestle in my friend's garage with mattresses.
Oh, okay.
I don't believe that if a professional that's on television should have that luxury. I think it should have been, okay, you guys sucked. The whole world is going to see it, and if they chew you out the next time, then, you know, so be it. So there's rumors that the old Sin Cara, which is the current Sin Cara, the Luis Ignacio Uribe Alvarado Sin Cara, might get the boot. And Jose Arias, which is such an easier name to say,
yes.
Might take over full-time.
Listen, there was also talks at some point when the original Sin Cara was away from television that they may do a Sin Cara versus Sin Cara feud. I guess that's okay, but if this original Sin Cara is still messing up, is still having troubles
in
the ring...
He has no shot unless he's in the ring with somebody that speaks Spanish. It's a language barrier that he can't get over, and the styles are very different. Even when I was training for wrestling, like they tell you, like... If you notice, if you're watching professional wrestling, everything is done on the left arm or left leg. Mm-hmm. You never see them work on the right arm or right leg. And that's the American style of wrestling. It's North American. As far as, you know, the Mexican way is the right side. So if this guy's going to do things on the right side and, you know, he's versing an American style guy and he's doing things on the left, it could be really dangerous. You know, a clothesline is thrown with the right arm. If you do it with the left arm, you know, in North America, it's a finish spot. It's called a lariat. It's not called a clothesline. So if I'm an American wrestler and I call for a lariat and you're a Mexican superstar, you're going to take the bump on the right-hand side because you think a lariat's with the right arm. Mm. So if I'm throwing a lariat with my left, you know, and you're standing on the right, that's just a botch spot waiting to happen.
Yeah.
An arm drag. Arm drag is done where, you know, I'm dropping down and I'm hooking him with my right arm, but I'm taking his left and throwing him over.
Yeah.
So if he's feeding me his right arm and I'm going for it with my right arm, again, it's a disaster.
Yeah.
So those are the kinds of things that I could see happening in a match, you know, with somebody with that language barrier, especially in North American versus Mexican style of wrestling.
Okay.
Moving on. By the way, I get most of my news from eWrestlingNews.com. I like the site a lot. You actually showed me that site. I like it a lot. So if you ever want to see up-to-minute news, that's where you go, and that's where I go. Tyler Rex, we touched on it last week. He had said on his Twitter that he was frustrated, you know, but even more determined to seize his opportunity when it comes or whatever. He posted an update a few nights ago, says, "Guys, to clarify my response earlier, I am not unhappy with my career in any way, shape, or form. I never said that. In fact, I am elated to be a part of the WWE, and the company has always treated me extremely well. With any business, there will be frustration from time to time, but that doesn't mean that I don't like what I do or where I work. I really enjoy communicating with my followers and answering questions for them, but please don't twist my words to make a headline. Thanks." So it seems like he took care of business. Seems like he...
I'm just going to stay quiet because I really don't care for Tyler Rex.
Okay, well, that's that. He protected himself. Mm-hmm. According to a promoter who reached out to Melina Perez, and,
okay,
you know, remember, she's gone from WWE,
yes,
to book her an independent wrestling event, the former WWE Divas representative is asking for $3,000 in appearance, to which I say she will then be, you know, collecting unemployment. Goldust gave his thoughts about the Young Bucks. I don't know if you heard when they got their tryout.
Oh, yes.
They didn't shake the hands of Booker T.
No, they didn't shake the hands, you know, all that
and
stuff.
And Goldust had some things to say. He says, as Booker says, better show some respect when in the locker room. There are good teachers here that know more than the Young Bucks. Just a reminder, if trying out for WWE, extend your hand, be polite and respectful, and do what you're told.
Hey.
You don't have to like the Golden One, but you will respect my knowledge of the business, just for your information. Matt Jackson, I don't know who that is. I guess he's a TNA guy.
Okay.
Wrote on his Twitter, somewhere, somehow, there is a tell me he didn't just say that joke that needs to be told.
Sure.
Let's see.
Interesting thing with the Young Bucks, if people also don't know, they will be on TV soon. They are actually going to be participating in a Ring of Honor pay-per-view match.
Right, Ring of Honor. I should get into Ring of Honor. I just don't have the time to kind of sit down in front of the computer for that long.
Yeah,
they're coming back to television, but they're not coming anywhere in this area. Like,
no.
None of my cable has them.
Mm-hmm.
TNA Wrestling, you know, I'm mentioning them again.
Okay.
Announced Thursday night on Impact that they signed a bunch of X-Division guys.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Haskins, Zema Ion, Jesse Sorensen, Anthony Nese, and Kid Cash.
Okay.
Kid Cash is the only name on there that I recognize.
Now, let me point this out. I'm very upset by that. Because
why?
Let me tell you why. There's one guy that I think should have been signed by TNA.
Loki?
No, not Loki. Jack Evans.
Jack Evans.
Mm-hmm. Where is Jack Evans? I want to see this guy on TV. That, you know what? I'll point it out here. If Jack Evans is on TV and he gets signed by TNA, I will actually watch TNA legitimately instead of speeding through it every single week.
Okay. Well, I'm holding you to that.
All right.
I don't know if you caught this, but Nash got in a little shot at TNA when him and Punk had their little thing last week.
Oh, yes. Mentioning something about a cook.
A short order cook in a Pikeville Waffle House, which was a shot at Pikeville, Kentucky, one of TNA's best house show venues. So he always hated being on the house shows, so he decided to throw that in there. Now, that's for the news that I printed. Now, there's some other news here on the thing on the personal computer here that I could bring up. Let's see what we got here. CM Punk and Steve Austin are having a little Twitter war.
Oh, they're having
which,
a Twitter war.
As smart as the two of those are, I am 100% sure that this is a work and it is not in any way, shape, or form real. Okay, Austin wrote to Zack Ryder that he shouldn't put a lime in a beer after Ryder talked about drinking Bud Light Lime. Punk replied that lime is used to make it not taste like piss and that beer is still poison. Austin then replied, you ought to mind your own business. Stay focused on Nash and leave the beer drinking to me, Punk. And he says Punk kind of, or writes Punk kind of weird. Punk replied to Austin, focus is my middle name, Steven. And then Austin then said, my middle name is Whoopass. Now go about your business before you step in a big pile of what did I get myself into now. So that's a little thing between Punk and Austin. I'm sure it's just them having fun with each other on the Twit space,
Twitter space. There is, you know, a work going around that, you know, they've mentioned to Steve Austin, you know, he's had interviews where could he be back with could he come back, let's say, at WrestleMania and face someone like Punk? And he said he'd be fine with it, you know? It's just that, you know, he said that, you know, he'd be interested in it.
Sorry. How much would you say, how many buys would you say that that Money in the Bank got?
Buys.
You know, how many people bought the pay-per-view with the main event being Punk and Cena?
And Money in the Bank.
Money
in
the Bank.
In Chicago.
All right. How many people bought that pay-per-view?
All right. We're going to go an over-under. All right. I'm going to say, because I thought this was awesome, I'm going to say at least 50,000 buys.
50,000. Okay. Let me just tell you. Okay. I'm going to tell you right now.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a number.
Okay.
Last year's Money in the Bank did 165,000 buys.
165,000?
That's moderate. That's
okay.
Like modest for them.
Okay.
Okay. So with that in mind, and know that WrestleMania routinely does like 500,000.
Wow.
TNA does about 30. So just to keep that in perspective.
Okay.
Now, how many buys do you think?
All right,
Money in the Bank got?
I'm gonna say 200,000.
Close. 265,000 buys.
Really?
That's up 100,000 buys from last year's Money in the Bank.
Holy goodness.
You know, it's obviously attributed to the hot angle going into the, you know,
yeah,
that main event.
You know what? Everyone was buying it. You know, I love to see what the SummerSlam buy rate was.
Well, that'll probably come out next month.
Okay.
Or in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Maryse is gonna go into surgery. I was wondering where she's been, but apparently she has a stomach hernia. I didn't know women could get hernias, but you know, you learn something new every day.
She hasn't been on TV in a while. She hasn't been since July.
Since DiBiase went with Rhodes, I think.
Yeah, that's
since he
been
started
like the
doing
last
that.
Time.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through.
Speaking of Rhodes, let's talk about last week's SmackDown.
Okay.
Last week is a SmackDown. Let's go. I'm going to go to my little results page here.
Okay.
All right. I guess we could go in order. The big thing was that, you know, SmackDown, they were saying they were going to do a 20-man battle royal for the number one contendership because this
something new.
This Christian and Orton thing has been driven into the ground. So when all else fails, have a battle royal, figure out who's the best.
Mm-hmm.
So they set that up, you know, down the line. We got Cody Rhodes and Zeke Jackson in a rematch from their IC title match. The match that I thought would have happened at SummerSlam, and after their results and after the show that they put on, you know, I'm glad it wasn't on the card.
Yeah, I'm actually glad too.
It was bad.
Let me point this out. I'm very surprised at the fact that, like, Ezekiel Jackson's supposed to play this really strong guy that can take a hit and then dish out all this punishment.
Right.
But I felt like in that match, throughout the entire match, Cody Rhodes was the stronger man. Even when he did the kick to the head,
yeah,
it felt like everything was like he's done.
They're trying. You know what's weird is like I see a lot of what Orton was to Legacy, and what Cody Rhodes is doing now. He's taking that leadership role and like taking that intensity and the smarts. He's outsmarting a much bigger opponent than him, and they're trying to say that he's Zeke's just not in his league, and I don't think that's the right thing to do. Although Zeke should not be in the mid card. He with a physique like him and the way he works in the ring, he shouldn't be wrestling a guy like Cody Rhodes. It just doesn't make sense. Like Cody Rhodes should be wrestling guys like Ziggler, and I would even say Jack Swagger, and you know Daniel Bryan, and like the smaller type guys that then they could put on great matches over. Even Tyler Rex, I would say, belongs in that conversation because I happen to like Tyler Rex. All
right.
Okay, we find out after that match that Del Rio's on his way. Me and my girlfriend both moaned because we're tired of his promos, and now we have the WWE champion again on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
After we had Daniel Bryan
yep.
go to Raw and verse him in a Money in the Bank versus Money in the Bank match or whatever, the two winners.
Yep.
Just having it. So he comes back and we know he's gonna come to SmackDown.
Uh-huh.
Justin Gabriel had a pretty entertaining match with Tyson Kidd. I thought it was.
They put
pretty
on a
good.
Very good match. It was very. It was something that I did enjoy watching. Typical ending. I knew it would end in that way for some reason.
Yeah.
I liked how he did the 450 all the way into the middle of the ring.
Right.
You know, Tyson Kidd was in the middle of the ring, so it showed. You know that. You know, it made the fans go oohs and ahs. You know, make them get a little interested more in Justin Gabriel. I'm getting a little sick of the promo.
Oh God!
Constantly of
oh,
the
God.
South Africa
oh,
thing.
He went back to South Africa. In case you didn't know, he went back to South Africa. We'll probably know about it again next week. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
On SmackDown, we'll probably hear it again. Mm-hmm. So then Del Rio comes out, and he does his usual. My name is Alberto Del Rio. It's my destiny. I'm the champion. I'm the
yep.
greatest. I'm the this that. Daniel Bryan comes out again.
Yep.
Same old song and dance. He comes out. He challenges him because Daniel Bryan is a man's man.
Mm-hmm.
Challenges him, and. You know, Del Rio, you know.
It wasn't an entertaining match.
I think for...
It was a filler.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good match. I think they could have had... They could have gone a little longer or... I don't know. But, I don't believe in making Daniel Bryan tap. I think it's a stupid, stupid idea. But whatever. Del Rio's
move is a submission. I'm getting a little also, you know... I'm getting a little sick and tired of the constant, like, you know, whip his arm on the rope or throwing his shoulder
it's
into the ring.
It's classic psychology.
Post.
As soon as you know that that Del Rio's opponent's arm is injured, you know that that's what he's going to it's all about ring psychology. He needs to come up with different ways. I think he needs a different finisher. I think he needs, like, Daniel Bryan has the guillotine choke and he has the lapel lock. They're both submissions, but both of them could come out of nowhere. One of them works on the arm and neck. The other one's just a choke out.
Yeah.
So it works for him. Del Rio, I think, needs a high impact move. He needs something that's like, you know, just a more powerful move.
Do you think the kick that he's doing, which is the same as the one that like Cody Rhodes does, is a
I don't think that's a good finisher for him. I know he has won a couple of matches with it, but I just don't think. You have John Morrison, whose Starship Pain is the worst move to ever be made ever, and now he's doing the running knee. So the running knee I like for him. Daniel Bryan does a diving knee off the apron or off the top or whatever, wherever he's going to do it. He does that, so it kind of makes Morrison's move looks cheap. And the same thing with Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes' springboard kick is looks better than Del Rio's.
Uh-huh.
Del Rio's is always in the corner. You know when it's coming. So I don't know. I think he needs something else, like some sort of really high impact thing, like maybe a top rope fall away slam, or you know, it's just something big.
All right.
We got Divas scuttlebutt going around. It was actually not sloppy at all. They didn't make any mistakes, and I believed that they were competing with each other. I stopped fast-forwarding it because I realized that they were doing moves. Yeah. And I was like, oh, all right, I'll watch this. So I watched it. It was pretty good. It wasn't great. And then we get our battle royal. In this battle royal was Sin Cara, Mark Henry, Sheamus, Wade Barrett, William Regal.
Yeah, he was gone pretty quickly.
I don't care. William Regal was in the main event of SmackDown. When was the last time you saw that?
Well, he's been on NXT. He needs some kind of work.
You had Jinder Mahal and the Great Khali.
Oh, God.
Ezekiel Jackson, who I don't know why he's in there. He already had a match.
Yep.
Justin Gabriel, same story.
Uh-huh.
You had Heath Slater, Tyson Kidd, Zack Ryder, Ted DiBiase, Cody Rhodes, Jimmy and Jey Uso. All right. Why do we have tag teams in these matches? It's so obvious they're not going to win.
Exactly.
Whatever. Trent Barretta, Yoshitatsu, and Johnny Curtis.
Yep. Trent Barretta was gone first.
Yes, Trent Barretta was gone first. You know, all right, he's not a main eventer. What do you want? So
let's just point this out.
Okay.
The whole entire Battle Royal was the Mark Henry show. That was the whole entire thing. There wasn't anything at any point where I was like, someone else is going to win. It was the Mark Henry show.
I thought Sheamus had a chance. As soon as it was Sin Cara and Mark Henry, I knew that Mark Henry was winning. But Sin Cara, it was entertaining. Their last, 45 seconds that they had with each other.
Yeah.
It was entertaining. It was fun.
Thing that I thought, I didn't know if there was a botch or if there was, a little fault. When Sin Cara jumped off the top and,
the better of my knowledge tells me that it was supposed to be the ending, that he was supposed to catch him and then throw him over. But because that was the new Sin Cara, that was second Sin Cara, they knew how to fix it.
Okay.
The old Sin Cara would have eliminated himself or something stupid. Yeah. So he knew to get up and he knew not to just do that move, that a crossbody right away.
Yeah.
They improvised. They did some cool stuff with him running around and flipping up and doing all these silly things. And then he did another crossbody and then he got thrown out.
Yeah.
It worked. Yeah. It did a good thing. We got Mark Henry and Randy Orton, which... That's all I have to say about that.
At least a little excited.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, why?
Because, because
somebody's going to get their head split. Somebody going to get their wig split.
Kicked. Hold on. Let me point this out.
I need to know why I need to be excited for Mark Henry versus Randy Orton.
All right.
Please, tell me.
I'm coming out there. I want Mark Henry to win.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
I'm sick and tired of Randy Orton.
I don't know how you could be sick and tired of somebody that constantly gives you a what the fuck just happened moment in his matches.
I like there's no cursing in this.
It's all right. I'll mark it down.
Look, let's just point this out, okay?
22 minutes and 40 seconds. Remember that.
All right. Now, the whole entire thing that I believe is that Mark Henry, he's actually putting on something that is cool. And I think...
Henry's playing the same character he did 2 and 3 years ago when he was a monster heel. He's doing the same thing.
Well, but he was champion, and I think he'll be champion again.
I don't know. I mean, usually it works better when a heel is champion and a face chases him, but right now Randy Orton's on top of the world. I could see him going through multiple heels for a while. I think the next heel he's going to work with after Henry is Jinder Mahal, but that's just me.
Okay.
SmackDown. That was SmackDown. Overall, it was pretty good. I'd give it about a 7 out of 10. It established a lot of cool things. The Battle Royal actually wasn't bad. It was actually entertaining. Once you get past the people, the obvious eliminations, and you could look past that as a viewer, as a fan, it was actually entertaining. They did some pretty cool stuff with it. By the book stuff, but still cool to see. There was that. And then we had this week's Monday Night Raw.
Okay. So, you want me to lead it off on this? Is this Monday Night Raw?
Monday Night Raw.
All right, so we lead it off. We go right into Triple H coming out.
Oh, Triple H started Raw again?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
I wonder if he's, the GM now, because again, the Anonymous World GM is absent.
He's still there.
The computer is there.
Yes.
But he's absent yet another week.
Yes. So, you know.
Did you hear the rumors?
What's the rumor?
The rumor is that I forget when. I think it's this coming week on Raw that Bret Hart is going to guest GM. Because they're in Quebec or something silly.
Okay, well,
and he's supposedly reffing a dark match between or is it SmackDown?
No, it's SmackDown.
Is it SmackDown? I don't remember what it was.
A dark match between Christian and Orton. Randy Orton,
which you know, another street fight. Yes. Whatever. But at least, you know, he's still earning a paycheck.
Yeah, so we move it to Raw, and you know, Triple H is out there. And, you know, he's talking and all that stuff. And we get, you know, Del Rio.
Uh-huh.
He's out there and he's saying, you know, it is my destiny. No one should face me. I fought last week.
The usual
And then
stuff.
John Cena comes out and he says, no, you know, I want to be the number one contender. CM Punk's like, now, wait a minute. I should be the number one contender.
Now, here's the thing that's weird about this whole opening segment.
Yeah.
It was cool that they had this issue was finally on the table. Because everybody was confused. Everybody didn't know what was going to happen between Cena's rematch clause and Punk's rematch clause. Nobody knew what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So to have them actually discuss it is cool. The bad thing was that Del Rio was completely overshadowed by everybody else on the mic. John Cena did not – I think he should have mentioned the fact that he called Del Rio out on defending – or not defending his title immediately after he defended his title against a former, like, what, four-time champion?
Yeah.
Whatever. They didn't mention that. Now, I think it's a no-brainer. CM Punk gets the first shot because he was the last one to lose.
Yeah.
That's. I mean, you could go the other way. You could say, well, Cena was the first one to lose it, so he gets the thing. But for whatever reason, you know, I feel Punk should have that first.
Also, people think that, you know, because of what happened with Triple H, not calling it down the middle, you know, they think it's unfair that, you know, John Cena lost the title, inconsiderately. But at the same time, you know, as we mentioned, you know, Triple H called the match, and it's his final say. So,
right.
You know, now we get into the thing. They're talking. It's me. Triple H is like, you know what? You two are going to battle it, and the winner's going to be number one contender.
So now we get Punk and Cena.
Yes.
Three. This time to see who gets their shot at the thing.
Yeah.
And, so yeah, we get that announcement, and then we move on. Let's see what we got here.
We move on. We get to, I believe, the next match.
Oh right, Del Rio stays in the ring.
Yes.
And we get John Morrison come out, do his fancy slow motion entrance, and they have a match.
No. It didn't do anything for me. It didn't make me, you know, say.
Morrison's
it
not
didn't,
in,
actually,
not,
to be
not
honest, it didn't even make me. Think of Del Rio like as a strong character. Like, it just made me be like, okay, you
first,
beat a mid-card.
The thing that I didn't like about it is, again, the championship should never take the back seat to any match ever, and it clearly took a back seat to Cena and Punk. So he had the champion who's representing your brand having an opening match against somebody that didn't deserve to be in the ring with the champion.
Yeah.
So they had a little match. It was okay. Then we had Diva nonsense, where we had Eve versus Nikki Bella. Couldn't care any less. I didn't even watch it.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? Kevin Nash is here. He's walking backstage.
Yes.
Okay.
He shook Michael Cole's son's hand. Let's just
did
point
he?
That
yes,
out.
He
yes,
did.
Anyway.
Jack Swagger versus Alex Riley.
Why did this happen
it
again?
It was awesome. It was so awesome to see them wrestle again. Here's why. First of all, we got to see Vicky. I thought Vicky was going to do like a Bobby Heenan thing where she has multiple clients.
Yeah.
So she comes out, she swaggers, got, you know, manager.
Yeah.
And when Ziggler comes out and he's talking to Vicky saying, you don't need him, what do you see Swagger doing? Trying and failing again to do a gut wrench powerbomb. And this is what I have to say. Bravo, Jack Swagger and Alex Riley. That is how you cover up a mistake from the week before. That's how you do it. You make it so that it's just difficult for him to do that move on Alex Riley because Alex Riley's a beast. They got it over. It was in the corner of the screen. The commentator said nothing about it, but you noticed it. You noticed that he struggled again, and this time it was on purpose. And that I like that about it. I liked it a lot. And, of course, you know, Dolph, you know, distracts Swagger. So now I guess Swagger's a face now, or I don't know, but they're fighting over Vicky Guerrero, who nobody wants to see anybody fight over. Nobody likes her. So neither of these guys are going to come out as a face. Vicky falls down, and that's what and Swagger thinks Dolph pushed her. And
why are you still talking about this match?
Because they're trying to build a storyline, but I don't know what storyline they're trying to build. Are they trying to give Vicky Guerrero a credible manager?
This is the part of Raw where you have that storyline that's just put there, and you just want it to end eventually, and that's what I hope happens.
I like these two guys in the ring. I think they could do good stuff together, but I don't understand who the general public is supposed to root for. Are they supposed to root for Ziggler because Vicky cost him matches in the past and nobody likes Vicky? Or are we supposed to root for Swagger because he's getting screwed out of having Vicky Guerrero as his manager? It baffles my mind. I'm not sure what the heck they're doing.
We don't need to talk about it anymore, because then we do need to talk about something epic that happened this week.
Yes.
On Raw.
Capizzo.
We have brand new WWE Tag Team Champions.
Tag Team Champions all over the place. All
right.
Kofi, and I knew it happened because I DVR'd Raw, and I was avoiding the spoilers, and Twitter exploded with people saying congratulations to Kofi and Evan Bourne. So
yes,
but whatever. Right, hey. It was a by-the-books, boring as F match.
Oh, man.
It was terrible.
Oh, man. But it ended in the right way. But let's point this out here. Evan Bourne and Kofi Kingston are mid-level guys who now have the tag team titles.
Yep.
They're going to represent the tag team division.
They're going to be on both shows.
Okay, so now first off, the one thing I don't like of when two random guys are put together
is nobody likes that.
The fact that I don't like when tag teams don't have the same theme music.
When they come out separately.
When they come out separately. I don't like that. That's the first thing. And the second thing I don't like about this is that there is no competition for Evan Bourne and Kofi Kingston.
Well, there will be soon, hopefully. They're trying out more tag teams. This could be something new. And you know what? If they feed them Jimmy and Jey Uso, I guarantee you they give you at least a three-star match. So then we got our Cena versus Punk match, which ended...
Oh, wait, we forgot.
What?
We forgot about...
What did we forget?
The Nash... And
wait,
Triple H storyline.
Wait. No, we forgot about something even more important.
What?
The Miz and R-Truth have joined forces.
Oh, man. Wasn't that an epic segment?
I don't use epic. I do not use that word loosely.
Okay.
I do not just go throwing around the word epic. But the two of them dealing with the Watts from the crowd and just R-Truth has become my favorite thing to watch on
Raw. Oh, man, he's amazing.
If there are any conspiracies... We're going to knock him down. If there's any spiders in the ring, we're going to squash him.
Oh my God.
So funny.
And not even that, but the fact that them two working together...
It gets them both on television.
Gets
it's
them
great.
Both on television, and they look good together.
They look insane.
Yes.
They look absolutely insane. So, yeah, then we get Triple H and Nash. Like, the whole thing from last week is that Nash is saying he got a text from Triple H. Triple H is saying he didn't send the text. There were rumors going around people speculating that it could be Stephanie. But then Punk said, was it Stephanie? So you know it's not Stephanie.
Yeah.
And now it's painfully obvious after the main event who it was. As Laurinaitis tells Triple H, Nash has been in a car accident. He's got to go. He's got to go to the hospital. Gives him a random hospital. Triple H goes off. So Laurinaitis goes to the ring.
And is
at ringside.
Is at ringside.
Yeah, to make sure that no funny business happens.
Yes.
So now it's obvious he's the one that sent the text, because who comes in at the end of Cena and Punk's match? Kevin Nash doing his classic 1983, "Hey, I'm over here. Look at me while you're wrestling."
And the most amazing thing about the whole entire part was that after he said that, he started walking to the ring, but he didn't speak. And the first thing that I have to say about that whole entire scenario was that, okay, he's walking to the ring. what is going on with Punk? Who the hell cares? Go fight the guy.
Right.
Keep distracted. Keep talking. You know, he's just going to walk randomly. The crowd's looking at this guy going, what the heck is this guy doing? He's just walking.
I think everything was supposed to happen a lot quicker. I think. Yet again,
do you think something's wrong with Nash walking?
I think it was Cena's issue. I think Cena was supposed to capitalize on the distraction a lot sooner. Mm. It was just drawn out. It was a little silly. But it's painfully obvious that Laurinaitis is the
win.
One that texted.
Yes, but we also knew who was going to win. I know. We knew who was going to win. We had to beat Del Rio. But let's talk about one thing, Doc.
Talk about one thing.
What did you think of the overall match?
Oh, they've been putting on really, really good matches.
You could tell that they are really good together in the ring.
They're enjoying the hell out of each other, that's for
sure.
Yeah,
we're spacing that loosely, folks, on that statement. But they are actually having a lot of fun. They are making it very interesting. Cena is taking knees to the face like no other man has.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, but... Bottom line, we knew who was going to win.
Right. It was predictable. I saw the Kevin Nash thing come. As soon as Laurinaitis said, Kevin Nash has been in an accident, you got to go. It's like, okay, it's obvious. You know,
something's going to happen. Yeah.
He's there.
Someone's going to screw someone. Yeah.
So I think it's cool. Of course, the name has been trademarked. Mr. Future Endeavor has been trademarked. Laurinaitis is going to be an on-screen character for a while. And it's cool because, you know, we're setting up an obvious it's almost like a three-way feud. We have like a Nash Triple H thing going, but we have the obvious Nash and CM Punk, which is fine. I mean, I don't mind. I mean, who knows if Nash can still go? I mean, he did TNA not too long ago, but if anybody could carry him, it's Punk. So, yeah. You know, I don't mind. So we're at that point in the show where there's that one company. Mm. There's WWE.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The one company that we talk about
yes.
predominantly on the show.
Yes.
But every week, mm-hmm. we dedicate 60 seconds to one other show. A show that is watched by many, is followed by many, but is also a train wreck.
Mm. It's on a man's show, Spike TV.
Right. It is on... What did I do to my phone? What the hell just happened? Hang on a second. No, just fill space.
No, all right. So, you know, mostly we're talking about the one show where wrestling matters.
Right. Wrestling matters. And shaky cams.
Shaky cams backstage matters. Wrestling matters. And movie production backstage.
Yes.
Movie production.
Absolutely.
That's how you know where all the money's coming from. And
yep.
You know what?
That's where the money goes.
No one is leading this company better than Jim Cornette.
That's right.
Okay? That's how you know that TNA is in the right hands.
That's
when
right.
Jim Cornette is backstage where you don't even mm-hmm. see him and mm-hmm. he's writing, that's how you know we're going to get some good wrestling.
Well, that brings us to our very, very... It's a fan favorite.
Yes, it is.
It is a fan favorite.
It's becoming popular.
It is TNA in 60 seconds with Mike Capizzo.
All right.
And, of course, this is brought to you by Flip Flops.
Yes. When you never know...
Never know.
If a guy is on the left... Or on the right, if he's a good guy, or if he's a bad guy.
Never know.
Never know.
All right, Capizzo.
All right.
We are ready. In 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, Impact Wrestling. First off, breaking news. Jeff Hardy will be coming back. Who cares? Now we move on to the next popular thing. What happened on Impact? So
what
Sting
happened?
Comes out. He reenacts all the stuff that he got beat up from last week from Hulk Hogan and from Kurt Angle. And he's like, I'm going to get him no matter what. Who comes out? Ric Flair. You're still alive. You need money. That's right. You have to pay all your loans and all your problems. So you want to face Sting. You want to face him in a main event. And this main event, if you lose Sting, oh, you got to retire. You're gone for good.
That's
but
it.
If you win, I'm going to serve him on a silver platter. Yeah, that's right. That's what I love to see. Hulk Hogan with a nice big apple in his mouth like a pig on a silver platter. All right, let's move on. We move on to the big thing, the Bound for Glory series. D-Von versus Scott Steiner. Oh, Scott Steiner, you win. But then Samoa Joe. Oh, this is how you're going to make your epic impact. You're going to beat up everybody.
Let's move on.
10 seconds. Finally, Mexicana wins. Who cares? I don't care about Mexicana. We got a Mexican flag in the ring. Who cares?
And we're gone. All right, that was TNA in 60 seconds with Mike Capizzo, brought to you in part apart. Buy flip-flops when you never know if you're a face or a heel. All right, Capuzzo, that was good. I enjoyed that. Yes. A lot of stuff's going on in that little TNA that only has one show.
Yeah,
or, well, they have two shows, but who watches that other one?
There were things I wanted to say, but, you know, just want to put that last little thing.
Okay, well,
there.
You have something else to say, and so does one of our one of our favorite writer-inners.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have a favorite.
Let's see. Where is it?
Where we have?
Oh, no, he has nothing to say about TNA. I thought he did.
Oh.
But you remember Mr. Bacon, right?
Mr. Bacon, yes.
Mr. Bryce Bacon from Melbourne, Australia.
Yes. He's our favorite, right?
He's one of our favorites. We only have two guys that write into us, both of them wrote in this week.
All right, perfect.
Bryce wants to know, hey, guys, what do you guys think of Trent Barretta? I think he is a good talent that isn't being used well. His biggest win was a roll-up on Drew McIntyre. I personally thought he would use that rival to get the IC championship, but they never did anything with him. What do you guys think? Trent Barretta is one of my favorite guys on the roster. I know he's not a world champion, type talent, but I think he's a great worker. I know he's going to get future endeavor at some point. He had a great tag team. Dude Busters were really cool. So yeah, he's one of my favorites. I expect him to get no push, really. I expect him to just be, you know, a jobber and on Superstars.
Yeah, I mean, hey, he's starting something. I don't know if you guys know, but he posted this on Twitter. He had stated that he is going to grow out his beard until he is put on Raw.
Right.
Yes.
I did read that, yes.
So I can't wait to see what happens with him. I personally, I liked his in-ring ability. I thought he did do a lot of stunts that were very interesting. The problem is that they didn't utilize him enough, and as a result of that, it affects how the SmackDown audience can portray him, how the Raw audience can portray him. If he makes a push, no one's really going to know that much about him.
Yeah,
so,
he's not the kind of guy that's going to carry your company. He's a great in-ring worker. He'll have some great matches. I think that if they had a lightweight division or a cruiserweight division, he would excel in that kind of, that kind of thing. But you know, he is who he is. He's just, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sad to say that about the guy, but yes.
All right. We have two questions from Franklin.
Okay, Franklin.
First, this was a message he meant to send for our SummerSlam. Recap thing.
SummerSlam recap.
His favorite SummerSlam was SummerSlam 09. The matches on that card were as good as WrestleMania 25. Ziggler versus Rey was an awesome opening match.
Yes, it was. It was a very good, match. I love the spot. I still remember it when he takes Rey Mysterio and does a backbreaker with his knee from the top rope.
Yep.
And everyone in the crowd went, "What?" And it only was a two. It got the whole crowd into it. It was a very good opener. I will agree.
Cena versus Orton was a hilarious encounter.
Yes.
That was, Franklin's exact words.
Yes.
Legacy versus DX was a good tag match that we haven't seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
CM Punk versus Jeff Hardy was the icing on the cake for me. I forgot to write this email when you had the SummerSlam preview.
Was that the one, the SummerSlam one, when Punk won and then Undertaker came back? Was that the one I'm thinking of?
Undertaker returned.
Did he return at SummerSlam?
I don't remember. That might have been SummerSlam 10.
That might have been SummerSlam 10.
That might have been last year's SummerSlam, I think, when he returned.
Okay, because that was very good also. So CM Punk, I will admit, though, the best matches with Jeff Hardy by singles was always with CM Punk. Those two really did put on good matches, I got to admit. But go ahead.
He has another email. He says he's going to put his vote for our Big Splash WrestleCast's Supercard Challenge.
Okay.
He's voting for Miz versus Mr. Perfect.
Ah.
And then he has a question.
Okay.
Do you think they're going to put CM Punk versus Nash and sweep his rematch clause under the rug? We touched on this a bit. I think they're going to do both. I think he's going to have his match with Nash. Cena's going to get his match first. and then Punk will get his rematch clause on whoever's the champion after that.
Personally, I don't think CM Punk versus Nash is going to happen anytime soon. I think first off, they're not going to face each other at Night of Champions. That is going to be really stupid.
Because neither of them are champions.
Yes. I think it, for some reason, you may even see somewhere down the road, you know, Punk versus Triple H. Uh-huh. I think somehow that'll
really?
Be involved. I do. Hmm. I do see that happening. I don't know why. I could see it happening where Punk versus Nash and Triple H is like, you know, the ringside enforcer or something, you know. I don't know. I see something like that happening. But, you know, it doesn't faze me anymore with Nash. You know, I just feel like he's there just to try to build up Punk a little bit more. But Punk is at a state now where he doesn't need it.
Right. I'm inclined to agree. All
right.
I mean, I don't. They never do the right thing with Punk.
We've known that many a times.
Yeah, they never. That's where it went. I was trying to figure out where the hell my. Okay.
What's the matter?
No, I was trying to get my stopwatch on my phone from TNA in 60 seconds. And there were all these plus signs at the bottom of my phone. I didn't realize I just swiped the tray away.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, it's back.
Okay.
So that's our. Whosamacallit there.
Our
emails.
Yes.
So Big Splash WrestleCast's Supercard Challenge.
Yes.
The Perfect, your match, your yes. Mr. Perfect and Miz has 2 votes. Mm-hmm. The Cruiserweight match has 2 votes.
Oof.
My match has 2 votes.
Oof.
So we have a 3-way tie.
Yes.
Which means that all 3 matches are on the card.
Okay, but we have to figure out where we're putting them.
Where are we putting them?
Okay.
This is what we're doing.
Okay.
We are putting the Cruiserweight match as the dark match for the Supercard.
Ooh.
That's going to be on the DVD. It's not going to be televised. It's going to be on the DVD.
All right.
And it's going to be shown on Sunday Night Heat. I don't know.
Okay, if we ever get that again, but yes.
And then to open up the card, you're going to have Miz and Perfect.
Okay.
And the second match is going to be Daniel Bryan versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Really, you're gonna put that second over
that's
the
gonna,
tag
that's
team?
Gonna, that's gonna be that's
over
gonna be
se-
well well because
discussion.
Now because now our tag team match is now gonna have to be third.
Oh.
It's just gonna have to be.
Okay.
So that's how we're gonna do this because people gotta vote.
Yeah.
You gotta vote. We only got 3 people that voted.
Yeah.
I mean, come
it's
on,
true.
People.
It's true.
Get with the pro grizzle.
I know.
You know,
all right,
a
so
little
now,
email.
So now technically we are now up to our third match.
We're up to our third match.
Okay.
So which was the tag matches.
Yes.
Nobody voted for any of the tag matches.
Okay, so
that we
right
had last
now
week.
What we're gonna do is we're gonna leave the tag matches.
We're gonna
still
leave
open.
The tag matches alone.
We're still gonna bring up what are the tag matches?
Jeez, I don't even remember.
Okay.
Yours was Dudley Boys
versus LOD.
LOD
versus Beer Money.
Versus Beer Money Inc.
Uh-huh.
And was it Tables?
In a Tables.
It was Tables.
Yes.
All right. Mine was similar. It was LOD, Nasty Boys, Dudley Boys, and who was the other ones?
Did you say the Hardys?
Was it the Hardys?
I believe it was the Hardys.
Maybe it was the Hardy Boys.
Yeah.
And in a TLC.
Okay.
So those are still on the table. So now we're going to go to our fourth match.
Okay.
I didn't really give this much of a thought, so I'm gonna think a little bit out loud.
Okay.
Here, so,
Let me start this off. Okay. So we started off with, you know, if we're going in the order,
right.
We start off with a very strong, you know, opening match with the past versus the present.
Right.
We started off then by saying, you know, we're going now with some fast offense. And
right.
Then the third one, we're saying, you know, tag team. Well, the fourth
spectacle.
One,
it
the fourth
splinters
one, I
everywhere.
Think we need to have somewhat of, we need to have a quick match.
A quick match? This is what I think we're going to have.
Okay.
Hoss versus Hoss. The biggest superstars ever.
Okay.
Andre the Giant versus the Big Show.
Wow.
Andre the Giant versus the Big Show in a clash of the giants. 2 mammoth guys. You know they're not going to go 15 minutes. They
yeah.
We give them 5 minutes.
All right.
It's one-on-one. This is the how you win.
Okay.
Knock them over the top rope. It's
wow.
An over-the-top
it's
giant
over
elimination
the top
match.
Rope. Wow. Okay. Okay. I like it. I do like it a lot. I'm going to go even more crazy here.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Okay.
But I have always wanted to see this match.
Okay.
But I don't know if this is number four. I don't know if this would be number four. But I think this has to happen.
Okay.
I want to see Diamond Dallas Page.
DDP.
Versus Randy Orton.
Versus RKO versus Diamond Cutter.
I
want to
see the Diamond Cutter versus the RKO. And there's a reason why. Randy Orton went to DDP and asked him, can I use the Diamond Cutter? He said yes.
Right.
And then I think the father needs to face the son.
Right.
Epic clash.
I like it. I think that's a nice idea.
Now, I don't know if this is going to be a five-minute match, but we can do a 10-minute.
Okay.
We can do a 10-minute for this one.
Okay.
I think so.
You're doing a straight-up
competition. Yeah, straight-up match. Yep.
Okay. Well, there you have it, folks.
Yes.
You have the Big Splash WrestleCast's Supercard Challenge. We have a Cruiserweight Battle Royale.
Mm-hmm.
We have The Miz versus Mr. Perfect. You have Ricky the Dragon Steamboat versus the American Dragon Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson, whatever. You have the tag matches, which we still need to have voted on. We have Dudley's, LOD, and Beer Money Inc. in a tables match, or you have the Hardys, Dudley's, Nasty Boys, and LOD in a TLC match. And now you have another match to contemplate. You have either Andre the freaking Giant versus the freaking Giant Big Show. Or
in
you have
over the top
in
rope
an over
match.
The top rope match. The first one to get knocked over the top rope is eliminated,
and then the
only one true giant can stand.
All right, but I want to throw a little twist on yours.
Okay, throw a twist.
Okay, I don't think it should be a top rope.
Why?
I think it should be a body slam match.
Body slam match.
Body
slam,
slam
competition.
Match. Yes.
Body slam competition.
Yes.
Hmm.
I think it should be body slam, because you know that Andre the Giant was always the guy that would body slam people.
Yes.
And Big Show can body slam some big men.
He can.
So I think.
But can Andre slam him? That's the question. This is like a Big John Stud moment.
Yes.
all right, we'll go with the body slam challenge.
All right, fine.
We'll go with that. Or did I say your match already?
No.
Okay. Or you could have the RKO versus the Diamond Cutter, DDP versus Randy Orton, and an all out. You know. Winner takes finisher
match.
If DDP loses, he can no longer use the Diamond Cutter.
Which is amazing because of the fact that he invented it. So let's just point that out.
Well, yeah. So that's that. Again, you could reach us on the Twit Space, on the Twitter. We're at Big Splash Cast.
Yep.
You could actually find my other page. It's my personal page. It's at Steve Actor Singh. I don't really tweet that much from it, but, you know, you could find me on there. I'm also on my IGN, which is IGN.com social space. SFontana86 is where I'm on there. I used to blog. I might be getting back to it, doing wrestling blogs soon. So you could find me there. What else do we got for you? You can email us.
You could email us. Please email us.
At BigSplashPodcast@gmail.com. It's very exciting when that inbox has a little bold writing and it's like, oh, there's a new email for you. It's very exciting. You could find us on the iTunes at Big Splash WrestleCast. You could rate us. You could give us a review.
Yes.
You could download us into your ear holes. And we're also on Podomatic. That's where we upload our podcast. You could stream it from there. If you don't have the iTunes, it's Big Splash WrestleCasts.podomatic.com. We have not started our Kickstarter page yet because I'm still trying to figure out if we even need it.
Mm-hmm.
If a buttload of people download this podcast and I'm pressed for space, that's when we'll start our little Kickstarter. We got to figure out what our prizes are going to be. Personally, I really have no idea. So that's that. Maybe we'll give you a guest spot on the show or something like that. I don't know. We might only have one option for donate. $5. That's
all
it.
Right.
Leave it at $5 and you could be on the show. Your voice can be heard. Something like that. I don't know. Until next week, folks, I'm Steve Fontana.
I'm Mike Capizzo.
You see? He was not paying attention,
Sorry.
Let's try it again. Until next week, I'm Steve Fontana.
And I'm Mike Capizzo.
Keep reaching for the belts.
Yes.